Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we thank you for allowing us to come together according to your command. We pray, Father, for those with special needs, with special prayer, whether physical or spiritual, Father, be with them and help them in their need, Father. Help them along and give them comfort. We pray a continual prayer for Minnie Haas and Sister Millie and all the others requesting specific prayer. For we know, Father Yahweh, that you can provide and you can heal, and there's nothing you cannot do. Father, we thank you for the fellowship we have here. We thank you for calling us to your truth. We pray, Father Yahweh, that in our own lives we may be found worthy of your calling, that the sanctification which we've received we may hold on to and never depart from. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your Son, and it is through his name that we ask this prayer, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. May all be seated, all few of you. It's a blessing anyway to see those who are here. I guess the others are traveling throughout the country. I'd like to also extend a welcome to those who may be listening on the internet or who might be listening by audio tape or CD. I'd like to speak on a truth today that is often misunderstood, a truth that will have life or death consequences, a truth that most people simply gloss over, a truth that more often than not goes unheard. This truth is sanctification. Sanctification. So what is sanctification? What are we talking about when we say sanctification? In the Hebrew, the word is kadash, which means to be, make, pronounce, observe as clean, ceremonially or morally. In the Greek, the word is hagiosmos, which means purification, the state of purity. Now, hagiosmos is derived from hagios, which means physically or sacred, pure, morally, blameless, or consecrated. So we find that sanctification is a state of purity. It's a time that we're made holy or set apart. Sanctification was when we're called to the truth, set apart for Yahweh's purpose, as his own possession, as we will read today, a time that we're consecrated unto him. Very special time. Now, there's a lot to sanctification. Many people think that at baptism, they're, quote, born again, they're sanctified, and any future obligations are paid. I'm here to tell you today that sanctification is much more than this. It doesn't stop at immersion, doesn't stop with baptism, doesn't stop when we're, quote, born again. Sanctification requires a lifelong change, sacrifice, and a deep devotion to our Father in heaven. It's something that we will continue for the rest of our lives. It's not something we can end at a certain point, something we will always strive for and strive to fulfill. So how are we sanctified? I guess that's the first question. How are we sanctified? Turn to John chapter 17, verse 17 with me. Here in Yahshua's prayer to his Father, he elaborates on how we're sanctified. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. So that's how we're sanctified. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in what? In truth. In truth. So how are we sanctified? Yahshua says here we're sanctified by truth. We're sanctified in the truth. Now, what is truth? Many people might give you a different reply, a different explanation, different opinion on what truth might be, but Yahshua here defines truth. He says, your word. So we understand what truth is. It's Yahweh's word. So, what must we do to be sanctified? What are we obligated to? We're obligated to Yahweh's word. So to be sanctified, we must live by the truth. We must live by Yahweh's word. How many people today in this nation live by Yahweh's word? Again, they think that when they're immersed, they're born again, and they have nothing else to do. that their obligation is over. Well, that's not the case. Because once we're sanctified, we must then act upon that sanctification. And we do that by living the truth, by living the word, by obeying and by forsaking our sin, by removing that iniquity and living differently from the world. Again, remember, sanctification means to be set apart. Set apart. It's a state of purity. It's when we're made holy. It's when we're consecrated to the truth. And we must remain in that word. We're sanctified with something else. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brethren, beloved of the Master, for Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation in what? In sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, or faith in the truth. So here we find that we're sanctified by two components. Number one, we're sanctified by the Spirit. We're sanctified by Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh that we receive upon baptism. And we're also sanctified by something else. It says faith in the Word. Now understand that faith and Yahweh's Spirit and His Word all go hand to hand. You can't have one without the other. Peter in Acts chapter 5 verse 32 said this. He said, Yahweh's Spirit is given to those who obey. It's not given to those who receive grace. It's not given to those who believe. It says it's given to those who obey. It's a pivotal point. It's an important truth to understand. Yahweh's Spirit's given to those who are devoted to His Word. Now, Paul also said here that sanctification is given in faith and truth. So faith. You know, what does Hebrews 11:6 say? What does Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6? It says that it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. It's impossible. Meaning, if we don't believe in the promises of Yahweh's Word, in His existence, in His ability, then we cannot and will not please our Father in heaven. It's that simple. We must believe that He is. So not only must we obey, not only must we live by the truth, not only must we obey the Word, but we must believe, we must have faith, we must have assurance in the conviction we hold for the truth. With no doubts, no questions, we must believe with absolute confidence that Yahweh is and He is able to fulfill all that He says. So again, what must we do to be sanctified? We must have Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh. We must obey. We must listen to Yahweh's voice. And we must have faith. We may need all three of these components if we will be sanctified in the Word, if we will be Yahweh's own possession. Turn to Hebrews now with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. We find another component here to sanctification. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. It says there in verse 29, of how more severe punishment think you shall you be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant with which He was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite to the Spirit of grace. That's fascinating, despite to the Spirit of grace. That's what we see today in the world. They say Yahshua's paid the cost. We have no obligations. We can sin. We can do whatever we want to do, because we're under grace. But what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? It says that we have trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh when we do this. When we ignore the requirements of Yahweh's Word, we have trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant which he was sanctified. So we see and we know that we're sanctified through Yahshua's blood, through our Savior. We are set apart by His sacrifice, by His propitiation. So to receive Yahshua's sacrificing blood, what must we do? What must we do? Think about this. We must first do what? We must repent. And how do we repent? We turn from our sin, right? We turn from our sin. Now, how do we turn from our sin, or most people say just stop doing what is wrong. But we need to look at Yahweh's word and look at our lives and see how they are in contradiction. And if our life is in contradiction to Yahweh's word, we must remove that contradiction. If we're doing something Yahweh says not to do, we must remove. That's what sin is. It's a transgression of Yahweh's law. That's a scriptural definition of sin. So that's how we repent. That's how we turn from sin. And then we must obey the word. So what happens when we repent and are immersed, baptized into Yahshua's name? We receive forgiveness. And with that, we receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. So again, to receive Yahshua's blood, we must do what? We must repent, find forgiveness through immersion, and we must obey and have faith in his promise. All this is required for sanctification. It's not grace alone, it's not faith alone, it's not obedience alone, it's all the components together, all the truths, all these points we must have. Turn to Exodus chapter 19 now with me. Exodus chapter 19. And here we have an example of a group, the Israelites, being sanctified. Exodus chapter 19. Look at verse 5. Back up to verse 4. It says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." I've always found that passage fascinating because we see the same terminology in Revelation. During the Great Tribulation, it's prophesied that Yahweh was going to take us out in the wilderness as he did the Israelites of old and nourish us as he did the Israelites of old. Same prophecy. What has been will be again. Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed," now listen to this, "obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession," or a peculiar people, which means a treasured people in the Hebrew, a treasured people, or my own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. "And you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So we have an example here of sanctification. What does Yahweh promise to the Israelites here? He says, number one, his own possession. That was promise number one, that they would be part of his own possession, or a peculiar people, a treasured people in the Hebrew. Number two, a kingdom of priests, which we know and we will talk further about in the New Testament. It's promised and prophesied to occur in the millennium. A kingdom of priests that will rule with Messiah for 1,000 years. But here, the Israelites were offered the same promise. You know, some people say the promises in the new were different from the old and vice versa. It's not. The same promise we find in the old, we also find in the new. Same promise. Third, it says a holy or set apart nation. They were set apart, they were sanctified as a special people, as a special nation unto Almighty Yahweh. And the same is true for us now. Now, what must we do to achieve this? What was required of the Israelites of old? What were they told? What do we find here? Yahweh said to obey his word, keep his covenant. Live the truth. Live by the word. Same thing. Where did we see that? John chapter 17, verse 17. Yahshua said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Same thing. Yahweh told the Israelites to obey his word, keep his covenant. Again, we must live and devote ourselves to Yahweh's word. And if we will do this, if we will devote our lives to him, if we will put him first, he promises that the blessings we find here, we will receive. And you know, I can't think of a greater promise than the promises we find here. Can you? Now think about it. His own possession. You belong to Almighty Yahweh. Kingdom of priests. You will rule forever as a priest with Messiah and eventually with our Father in heaven. And a holy or set apart nation. You know, there's not a greater promise that we find here in this passage. And we achieve this again by simply obeying his voice, by doing his will, by coming out of this world, by removing sin. This is how we achieve this promise. There is a parallel passage in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn there with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, therefore, putting away all wickedness. Now, notice that. I want to emphasize that later. But all wickedness and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow by it to salvation. If you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious, to whom is coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with Yahweh elect precious. You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. We're still told to sacrifice. That too never changed. We find sacrifices in the old and we find sacrifices in the new. They're different, but we're still to sacrifice to our Father in heaven. It says acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. Because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe in the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, which we know Yahshua fulfilled according to the prophecies in Psalms. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they stumble at the word, being disobedient, to which also they were appointed. Now listen to verse 9. Verse 9 is important here. Listen to verse 9. It says, but you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yahweh's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of Elohim. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So again, the same promises we found in the old, what do we find here? We find the same promises. Same identical promises in the new. Nothing's changed. According to this, we must do what? To achieve sanctification. What must we do to be sanctified in the Word? What does Peter say here? He says, come out of sin. Come out of sin. How do we do this? How do we come out of sin? What does he specifically say here? He says putting away all wickedness. All wickedness. Not some wickedness. Not partial wickedness. Not a lukewarm attempt to put away the wickedness. All wickedness. Guile. Doulos in the Greek means deceit. Hypocrisies. Envies. All evil speakings. Anything else. Anything else that is contrary or opposite or that goes against Yahweh's word. We need to remove. We need to come out of sin. This is how we are sanctified. Same lesson, same solution, same promise, same process as we found in the old. In the old, Yahweh said, keep my covenant, keep my word, obey my voice. And here Peter is saying, come out of sin, put away all wickedness. Same thing, same word. And again, we find all the promises we found in the Old Testament. Number one, a holy nation. A holy nation. Number two, a peculiar people, a treasured people, or his own possession. A royal priesthood. We're going to see the fulfillment of that in the millennium, which we will look at in just a moment. An elect race. You know, most people read this and they don't realize the relationship here. Elect race. Race is genos. It means kin or family in the Greek. So here we find Peter saying that if we come out of all wickedness, if we remove sin and come to the truth, live by the word, that we're going to be a chosen family. That we're going to be treasured family to Almighty Yahweh. Again, I can't think of a greater promise. I know this life is so futile in so many different ways. So much disappointment, so much hardship, so much heartache. And we know that when Yahshua returns, all this will end. All this will come to an end. But you know, we can only achieve all this if we obey, if we do his will, if we walk in his ways, and if we come out of sin. And I'm going to sound repetitive somewhat today, but we need to understand this. And we need to, more than understand it, we need to implement it. We need to do it. Because if we're not doing this in our own life, if we're not following the precepts and the commandments we find in both old and new, then being here does us no good at all. We need to live the faith. We need to live the faith. Turn back to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. I'm going to show where it says that Yahweh, He sanctifies. Just His presence alone sanctifies. Exodus chapter 29, verse 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tent shall be sanctified by my glory. So Yahweh's presence sanctified by my glory, and I will sanctify the tent of meeting, and the altar, Aaron also, and his sons will I sanctify to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and they will be their Elohim. And they shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am Yahweh their Elohim. This is where Israel's sanctification came from. It wasn't by their own doing. It wasn't because of their own holiness or their own righteousness. It had nothing to do with what they accomplished, what they did. Yahweh sanctifies. Yahweh sanctifies. Yahweh, we know, is without sin. He's without guile. He's without hypocrisy. He's without wickedness. He's perfect. He's perfect. And really, if you think about it, beyond our comprehension, do you think you really understand who and what Yahweh is? I don't. I don't. I we can understand characteristics. We know Yahweh is a mighty one of love. We know He's a mighty one of justice. We know He's merciful. We know He can show wrath when we refuse to obey. We know He's like a loving Father in heaven, or a Father, loving Father here. We know certain characteristics of our Father in heaven, but do we really understand Him? Do we really understand His perfection? Do we really understand His righteousness, His holiness? I don't think we do. You know, we can think of a lot of examples of how He sanctified. For instance, when David, or not David, Moses, when he was coming before the burning bush, and he told Moses to remove his shoes, his sandals, because the place where he stood was holy ground. It wasn't the ground. It was Yahweh's presence. It was His glory that sanctified and made that place holy. It had nothing to do with Moses. Nothing to do with the territory, the ground. Nothing to do. For example, another example here, Israel was told to bathe before they came and approached the mountain, Mount Sinai. And they did. But that mountain was sanctified. Again, not because of the mountain, not because of the people, but because of Yahweh's sanctifying glory. And they had to wash themselves to approach that mountain. Also, we know when the high priest would enter the holy place once a year, that he had smoke, incense in the room. He would sprinkle the blood. He was very careful how he approached that Holy of Holies. Why? Because it was sanctified, because Yahweh's presence was in that Holy of Holies. So Yahweh's presence alone can sanctify. And that's important for us to understand. Yahweh is holy. He is above man in all ways. And it's through Him that we receive our sanctification. We can do nothing to be sanctified, to be set apart. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. It says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, you must keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." Who sanctifies you. So here we see who sanctifies who again. And we know and we can find here that Yahweh sanctifies us. It's impossible for man to sanctify self. Can't be done. It's impossible. Can't be done. Scripture says that we've all fallen short. We're all sinners. And we're all worthy of death. We're all pretty miserable when you think about it. Without Yahweh, without His grace, we would have no hope for sanctification. We would have no hope to be sanctified to the truth. Sanctification only comes from and by our Father in heaven. Now notice that Israel had to do something here. They had to obey. They had to obey. They had an obligation. You see, even though Yahweh sanctifies, We, too, have an obligation for that sanctification. They were told to obey. Obey. And specifically, we see here the Sabbath. Yahweh says that the Sabbath is a sign between you and I. Same thing is true today. We know that Paul, as his custom was, he worshipped on Sabbath. Paul never worshipped on Sunday. There's not one passage showing that Paul worshipped on Sunday. There might be a few misunderstood passages, but nothing showing absolutely. And Paul never did worship on Sunday, always worshipped on Sabbath. He understood that it was a sign between him and Yahweh. Same sign remains for us today. And it is one sign that offers sanctification, sanctifies us in the truth. It sets us apart from the world. We're different. And we're different, one reason, because of the Sabbath. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20 now with me, another example of sanctification. Leviticus chapter 20, and look at verse 6. And the soul that turns to them that have familiar spirits into the wizards to play the harlot after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Sanctify yourselves, Yahweh saying. For I am Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. For every one that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He who has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. So again, who sanctifies who? Yahweh sanctifies us. But we also see here that we're commanded to sanctify ourselves. We're commanded to walk in his word, to obey his voice, to be holy. It says to be holy, to be set apart. So what must we do to be sanctified? What must we do to be holy, to be set apart? How do we do this? How do we achieve this goal? Again, it's very simple. Yahweh here says, obey my statutes. We must obey his word. You know, Yahweh forbade here wizards, familiar spirits, all dealing with the angelic realm. He says, don't meddle with that. Don't get involved. And he also says immorality. Immorality. So he speaks about the both physical and spiritual. He says, abstain from sin. We must obey all the word and remove all sin if we will receive sanctification in the word. Turn to Acts chapter 26 now. We're going to see that we must find forgiveness. We must seek forgiveness before sanctification. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. And when they had 26:17, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to Yahweh, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul is speaking here, and he says that those who turn from darkness, those who turn from Satan and turn to Yahweh and his word are sanctified. Now he also says here that to do this, we first must find remission of sins before we are sanctified. We must first find remission of sins. Forgiveness comes before sanctification. To be sanctified, what must we do? We must repent. It all goes back to obeying Yahweh's voice. You know, a wise man in this assembly here recently told me that it all goes back to obedience. You know who you are. This is a theme of Scripture, is obedience. And it's true. It's true. The theme of Scripture is to obey and put Yahweh first. And that is how we're sanctified. We put Yahweh first. We listen to his voice and not our own. The same standards we found in the old is the same we find today in the new. Now, what happens when we disobey? What happens if we refuse to listen? What happens when we refuse to acknowledge our Maker? What happens? What's the result? What's the penalty for such an act? We lose our sanctification. We are no longer sanctified. We're no longer set apart. We're cut off. We know this happened in the Old Testament. Yahweh said that if you don't take the Passover, for instance, you're cut off. And there were other penalties, the same penalty for different sins, that if they did something, Yahweh specifically said, you're cut off. You're no longer part of my people. They were no longer sanctified. Let's look at sanctification and justification. This is often a topic that's brought up when we look at sanctification. There is a difference between the two. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, and in the spirit of our Elohim." So Paul says here that we were washed. In other words, we were forgiven. We were immersed. Next, he says we were sanctified. We were set apart. We were consecrated unto him, unto Yahweh. And finally, we were justified. We were found blameless. That's what justification means. Blameless for no merit of ours. It's almost like grace. Justified. Justified for nothing we did, but because of Yahweh's love and Yahshua's blood and grace, we find justification. Now we know, again, I'm going to stipulate, that does not give a license to sin. And we all know that here. We can't sin, and we should not sin because of justification, because like sanctification, we can lose justification. So to be justified, we must be what? We must be sanctified. So to be found blameless, we must be set apart. To be set apart, what do? We repent and we find forgiveness. You see, this is a process. This is a process. First, forgiveness. Second, sanctification. And third, justification. It's a process. And it all goes back to obeying Yahweh's word, obeying his voice, listening to him, devoting our lives to our Father in heaven. You know, we can't live for the flesh, live for this world, and be sanctified, as so many people believe. There's people in the assemblies even today who believe that they can live every day for the world, that they can live in sin, that they really don't have to change, that they can compromise on certain issues. We can't do that. The Bible doesn't allow it. Yahweh's word doesn't allow such a fallacy. If we're going to live and be sanctified and justified, we must live then according to his word. Again, justification is not a license to sin, to do what we want to do, to live life as we want to live life. It's not a license to sin. So we see again that this whole process to salvation is steps. It's a process. It starts with acknowledging our sins, acknowledging Yahweh's word, finding forgiveness, finding and being sanctified through Yahweh's word, and then being justified. Turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Those who are sanctified receive something very special. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. "And now I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his grace, which is able to build up and give you the inheritance." Listen to that. "The inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Here Paul says that the inheritance is given specifically to whom? To those who are sanctified, those who are set apart, those who are consecrated to the truth. So again, how important is sanctification? How important is it that we understand how we're sanctified? Only those who are sanctified will receive the inheritance. What's the inheritance? Yahweh's kingdom, eternal life. Well, it's pretty important then to understand sanctification, to live our lives so that we're set apart, that we're consecrated to Almighty Yahweh. Without it, there is no inheritance, there is no kingdom, and there is no hope. Sanctification is a must-have if we'll enter into that kingdom. Now, remember, again, what must be done if we're going to be sanctified in the Word. We must, A, repent, come out of sin, and obey. And again, we must live our lives every day for Yahweh, devote our lives every day for our Father in heaven. It's not something we can do part-time. It's not something we can be half-hearted with. It's not something we can do in a lukewarm fashion. It's something we must totally and completely devote to our Father in heaven. You know, there's a lot of things we might be able to cut corners with. We might be able to give a half effort with. But faith, devotion, and Yahweh's word are not one of those things. We must go all the way or do nothing at all. Because if we don't go all the way with Yahweh's word, if we don't devote our lives entirely to our Father in heaven, then what we're doing now is futile, is vain, it's pointless. Because it's going to get us nowhere in the end. Because in the end, Yahweh's looking for those who are willing to devote their lives completely to them, to Him. To those who will do whatever He asks, no matter what the consequences, no matter what the sacrifice, and no matter what the tribulation might be. And that's what we must do if we're going to find this inheritance, if we're going to be sanctified in the Word. This is what's required from us, that we obey and we put Yahweh first. But again, keep in mind that when I say obey, it's a complete life-changing process. It's not something that we can do halfway. It's something we must go all the way with. For instance, we read how the Sabbath sanctifies us. The feast days, all of Yahweh's word sanctifies us. Yahweh's Sabbath, we should never compromise. The feast days, we should never compromise. Yahweh says, you shall worship me on my Sabbath. Yahweh says, thou shalt keep my feasts. There's no excuse, there's no justification. This is how we're sanctified. This is how we're set apart from the world. And when we refuse that, or when we compromise those beliefs, we're doing ourselves absolutely no good. Because in the end, we're missing the mark. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not Yahweh, that no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter, because Yahweh is an avenger in all these things, as also we previously warned you and testified. For Yahweh called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Therefore he that rejects not man, but Elohim, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So Paul here, writing to the Thessalonians, says that we're not called for uncleanness, we're not called for sin, we're not called to live life as we see fit. We're called for one purpose, and that purpose is to be sanctified unto His truth, unto His word, unto His calling. Sanctification, again, means to be set apart, part of Yahweh's own possession. If we'll be sanctified, we must come out of sin then. We must come out of our old way of life. Because again, if we persist, if we continue to live as we lived prior to our conversion, then our current state does us no good. Do you understand that? If we refuse to change, if we rather live like the world, if we live, as Paul says, after the passions of the flesh, then we will not be sanctified, and we will not receive the inheritance, and we will lose all hope. You know, this world, it lives for the flesh. It loves the flesh. But we must be different. We must walk as Yahweh says to walk and do as Yahweh says to do. If we reject this calling, if we reject this sanctification as we find here, it says that we're not rejecting man. Because again, this has nothing at all to do with man. We're rejecting our Father in heaven, and there's not a greater penalty. We are rejecting our Creator, our Maker. And in so doing, we're also rejecting His Ruach HaKodesh, His Spirit that indwells within us at baptism. So we reject a whole lot when we reject this sanctification. We must be sanctified. There's a penalty for those who refuse to listen, who refuse to comply, who refuse to mold their lives according to His word. There's a penalty. And that penalty is we're no longer sanctified. We're no longer qualified as His own possession, as a chosen people, as a holy nation, as an elect family. We're no longer qualified. We've missed the mark. And I know that we all hear, we strive every day, and I pray we do, strive every day to follow Yahweh, to devote our lives to Him. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to Elohim, that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness and to sanctification. For when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification and the end, eternal life. Now, this passage is speaking about immersion or baptism. And how we're to repent, how we're to turn from sin, how we're to turn to Yahweh, how we were once all servants to sin. And now, since we've come to the truth, we're servants to what? We're servants to righteousness. You know, baptism has everything to do with sanctification. What happens at immersion? We're set apart, right? We're set apart unto Yahweh's service, unto His work. We're part of Yahweh's people. We're sanctified, we're consecrated unto Him. We are set apart to our Father in heaven. Paul says that we are servants to righteousness, which will lead to sanctification, which in the end, he says, will lead to everlasting life. But we must do something. We must live by the Word. You see, Paul says, come out of sin. What is sin? It's a breaking of Yahweh's law. These people who believe that there's no law, after immersion, that we are totally guilt-free and can do whatever we want to do, could not be more wrong. Because according to what we find here, once we are immersed, we have an obligation to live. We have an obligation to obey. There was a story of a young girl that came to an old church one time, and I forget exactly how it went, but basically, before her conversion, she was a sinner. She understood that, and after a deacon came to her and said, "Are you a sinner?" And she says, "Yes." And what's changed? And she says, "Before I was running to sin, now I'm running away from sin." And there's the difference. There's the difference. When we're immersed, we must run away from sin. We must remove ourselves from sin. We will never be perfect. We know this. But we can strive, and we can dedicate our lives every day to our Father in heaven. And I know if we do that, we will be sanctified, because that's a promise within His Word. He will never, never forsake us if we put Him first. He will never forsake us. I'd like to close with Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Starting with verse 9. It says, "After these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude." And this is different, by the way, from the 144. We have 144,000 here that's going to be saved. And then we have this great multitude that comes out of the great tribulation. A different group. It says, "A great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our Elohim, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing all around the throne, and all the elders of the four living creatures, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped Yahweh, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen." Verse 13, "One of the elders answered, saying to me, These that are arrayed in white robes, who are they, and where are they from? And I say to him, My master, you know. And he said to me, These are they that came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they were sanctified through Yahshua. They obeyed. Therefore, they are before the throne of Yahweh, and they serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. Neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the middle of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to the fountains of waters of life. And Yahweh shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the prize. This is the reward for those who are washed, those who are sanctified, those who are consecrated to Yahweh's truth. Now, how were these people washed? We've looked at this more than once today. They were washed, number one, they repented. They turned from their sins. They turned from their iniquity, and they turned from the world. And number two, they obeyed Yahweh's voice. They came out of the world. You see, we must acknowledge our sin and then come out of the world and come to Yahweh's word. You know, living for Yahweh's word isn't always easy. We all suffer here and there, and probably will more so as time goes on. But as we find here, there's a great prize in the end, a great prize. You know, to be washed, to be sanctified means more than what we can even fathom today. To be sanctified, to be consecrated to Yahweh, and to be called his own. To be called his own. Can you imagine Yahweh's kingdom, a time when all tears will be washed away? A time when we will neither hunger nor thirst. A time in which we will live in peace. A time when Yahweh will govern all of man. And a time that sin will be no more. It's going to be a wonderful time. Yahweh's kingdom is coming. And it might be here sooner than what some might think or anticipate. When this day comes, will we be ready? Will we be sanctified? Will we be set apart from the world? Will we be devoting our lives to Almighty Yahweh? Will we be found worthy of his kingdom? Again, for all this to happen, we must be sanctified. We must be set apart. We must be consecrated as Yahweh's own possession. So may we make this our goal. Make this our goal, to live every day for our Father in heaven, so that when Yahshua does return with his army of angels, he will say to you and I, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May Yahweh bless you all.